are here at the 2018 ACUC in Boston, Massachusetts, with Mr. Edgar Hernandez from CUNY Mutual Group. How are you, Edgar?
I'm pretty good. Thank you.
You're pretty good. Come on. You're great.
I'm excited. I'm optimistic. I'm happy. I just got done with a presentation. Yes.
And it's entitled, What Matters Now? Insights from Multicultural Customers. So give us a quick overview on what your audience heard.
Right. So I guess the essence is, you know, when you look at the marketplace, the trends right now that is happening, you know, there's a growing percentage of people of color. That is the trend that's been happening for the past 20, 30 years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you think about your grandparents, back then, about 15, 16% of their generation were people of color.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to today, mm-hmm. anybody that's born that's under 10 years of age right now is 50%.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So it's really moved, and that's just going to continue to grow,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think one thing is to be keep in mind is the magnitude and how credit unions need to be sort of aware of these changes. Some of them are still trying to understand how their landscape is changing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the faster they recognize those trends and the implications that come along with that,
mm-hmm.
The better they will be able to position themselves mm-hmm. with that.
Do you know Miriam De Dios yes. Woodward? Yeah. Okay. She's going to be here a little bit later. So when you said that, okay. All right.
Yeah, so
we're all on board.
Exactly. So the other thing too is that, you know, you talk about magnitude and change and growth. The other thing too is, I think you can't talk about, you know, race or ethnicity, which is what we focus on. Because there's different dimensions of culture, right? What is culture?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have veteran status. You can have financial literacy. You can have language. Mm-hmm. You can have, you know, marital status and whatnot. And so we our team at CUNY Mutual. Called the Multicultural Center of Expertise
mm-hmm.
focuses in on all those elements, but right now we're starting with race and ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when it comes about self-identity, how do you describe yourself, right? How, you know, who are you? You know, maybe the first thing comes to mind, like, well, you're a person from, where do you live?
In San Diego.
San Diego. Maybe you're San Diego. You said, you know, you like to surf. So you're
I'm surfer,
surf. Right?
It, yeah.
So you have the self, the surfing subculture.
Mm-hmm.
Other people may say, well, you know, I'm African American,
mm-hmm.
Or I'm Texan first and then American, right?
Oh yeah, those Texans.
Exactly. So you've got to kind of understand all the different layers of culture and identity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't separate those two. The other thing too is generation wise, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
So you know the generation, the millennials, Generation Y. They're growing. They're going to be one of the biggest generations of our times after boomers. And they are more, Generation Y, they're much more multicultural.
Oh, yeah.
So those two things are you know, sort of intersecting.
Mm-hmm.
And there's values underneath that, right? And so that's the other aspect. How are those values that people, what people believe in, impact financial decisions?
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, our economist at CUNY Mutual, Steve Rick,
mm-hmm.
he talked about saving rates in the United States, right? And you know, historically, they've been high, and they were low, and they've been high. I think on average is like 3%. But if you look at China, they have a savings rate of about 30%. It's like 10 times as much. So you wonder, well, you know, why is that? Well, Steve mentioned, well, there's much. They don't have a similar support system when it comes to Social Security, so they have to sort of save for that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, but then you think about the immigrant that comes here from China
mm-hmm.
that has a savings mentality.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do it anyway.
They're going to do it anyway
right.
because they've done it all their lives.
Yep.
Conversely, somebody that's living in the moment that's thinking, perhaps like, you know what, I may not be around, or, you know, I don't trust financial institutions because maybe in my country, it was a collapse, financial collapse, like what happened in
what happened 8 years ago?
Exactly.
Well, here, eight years
ago, yeah.
So maybe you take money out of your 401k plans.
Right.
You don't want to put it in there again. So people live in different times, and they make financial decisions that stick with them. So we talk about data because we did a survey with 12,000 different consumers, and we asked them a series of questions about, you know, financial literacy, financial goals, aspiration, values, attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we interviewed them. We did a subgroup of that, and we asked them even more questions. And then we did a smaller group of 38 consumers all across the United States. And we asked them questions that sort of stories
mm-hmm.
that amplified
mm-hmm.
the data that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we shared in the presentation.
Okay.
And so, you know, we're you know, everything from, you know, what it feels like when they obtain a loan. You know, and we broke out the data by whites, Hispanics, African Americans, Asians, and other groups. And time again, we see there are over-indexing. Multicultural consumers are over-indexing in a lot of different criteria. So this is statistically significant differences. Whether it's, you know, like students getting student loans or the likelihood to start a business. Hispanics have 9 times more likely to get a business loan in the next 5 years than whites. Nine times as likely. So you think about that, your little food cart owner that comes over and said, hey, I'm just wanna, can I get $5,000? I need to, you know, get sell my tacos or whatever, arepas or whatever it is that you sell. But then next year they're so successful that maybe they open another one. And before you know, they have their restaurant, right?
Kickstarted them big time.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's the kind of idea that I think, you know, this is a nation built on immigrants and, you know, entrepreneurship. That is the foundation of this country, you know. Anheuser-Busch, guess what? Immigrants from Germany, right? Yep. They started a huge multinational company. In fact, when you look at the data of Fortune 500, I think over half of the founders are either immigrants or children of immigrants.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's a movement that's going to keep on going. And I think if credit unions understand some of the cultural nuances, the cultural wings, you know, some of the aspirations, optimism, hustle, but also some of the worries, right? What is concerning to them? So we looked at data, for example, the average household income in the United States is between $50,000 and $60,000. Okay, but if you look at household alone, and look at, without looking at how many people per household, you're gonna realize that, you know, a Hispanic family maybe has more individuals. So those $56,000 are not gonna go as far as if you only had two people.
Exactly.
So their worries and anxieties are a lot more augmented by that. And so those are things that, you know, as credit union members walk into your institution, yours, but any credit union or financial institution for that matter, how are we caring to them? Do we understand where they're coming from and where they want to go?
So this information that you guys have helps out credit unions nationwide as far, because I mean, because our melting pot is getting more and more prominent by the day. So so this information is a huge help for credit unions and able to, in order to I guess serve different cultures.
Yeah, and so the third point, so the first point I said, like I said, is the magnitude, the growth. The second one I said about self-identity, what does it mean? And you have to also be aware that there's all these differences. When we talk about Asian group, there's a lot of different subgroups, right? There's Koreans, there's Indians, there's Japanese, Chinese, and they also have different value systems. So we have to be also cognizant of the market that we serve. The last part is about biases, right? And so we have to be also careful not to generalize as well, right? Just because we see some data, and our boss Eric Hansing, I'll give him credit for that. Or, you know, he was the one who set up this multicultural center of excellence because he noticed in some of the data that when we did a direct mail campaign a couple of years ago, right, for Life, we saw that there was one specific group that responded to the same direct mail campaign as anybody else. I won't tell you what that is. I'll keep the audience in suspense. but what's fascinating is that the question was, well, why this group twice as much? I mean, this is unheard of. In direct mail campaign, maybe you see a response rate a little bit higher, 5%, 6%, but 20, like twice as much is huge.
Yeah.
And so you start to peel the onion and understand, okay, wait a minute. What's happening? What's going on here? And this was regardless of income, whether it's, you know, $20,000 or over $100,000, the response was twice as much. So income is not a driver. The number of people in the household was not a driver. It had to do something else, and it had to do with culture.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And so if you want to know what the answer is, maybe your viewers can take a look at the presentation.
Yeah.
Go to a website and download that paper.
Okay.
This is a very exciting topic, very exciting times we're living in. And, you know, we'll just continue to do more research and share it with credit unions.
Super timely indeed. Super timely indeed. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Great information, Edgar. Appreciate the time. Anything else to kind of wrap up here?
No, just really, really happy that, you know, CUNA Mutual and CUNA sort of organized and are helping school sponsor this event. It's great. You know, love this town.
Boston.
And I heard really good things about you as well.
Thank you.
And Boston, talk about multicultural. Boston is a great example of that, big time.
Yeah. Exactly.
As more and more cities across the United States, all over, everybody. Oh my gosh, it's such a good thing. So we're stoked on that. So Edgar, thank you very much.
Okay,
appreciate the time.